The True Vine Charismatic Church International presents our weekly audio podcast with Reverend Tete Jangma. Let this message fill you with the Word of God.
Today we are about to study on how to have true blessings. How to have true blessings. When I talk about true blessings, it presupposes there can be false blessings. In Proverbs chapter 23 verse 5, Proverbs chapter 23 verse 5, he said, Would thou set thine eyes upon that which is not for riches certainly make themselves wings, they fly away as the eagle toward heaven. The Bible is saying that if there is anything to set your heart upon, it should not be riches. If there is anything to set your heart upon, it should be God. And it should be something doing in the house of God. Then God gives the reason why we should not set our hearts upon riches. He says, for riches certainly make themselves wings, and they fly away as the eagle toward heaven. So God is saying that any riches that is not scripturally acquired, any riches that is not acquired by the principles of God, does not last long. A man may be up today and be down tomorrow. A man may be prosperous on Monday, by Friday, poverty has reached him or her. The Bible says that we should therefore seek the riches that stays, not the kind of riches that can make wings and fly away. That's why the Bible says that we must not envy the wicked. Because it is what happens in the end that matter. In the short run, they may seem to be ahead. They may seem to be prospering. But the Bible says an adverse wind could blow. And when it does, it may whittle away the gains of all their prosperity. And then they will come to nothing and have nothing. So tell the next person, don't set your eyes on riches. Tell the person, don't set your heart on riches. Now turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 from verse 25. We want to look at how we can have the true riches, because we've just seen what false riches are. They don't last, they don't stay long. They make themselves wings and they fly away. So as we look at Matthew chapter 6, we want to start reading from verse number 25. Therefore I say unto you, do not worry about your life. What you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they never sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are ye not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add a cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I say unto you, not even Solomon in all his glory was arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. I'll be preaching on 3 points out of this passage. The first one is, do not be anxious. The word anxiety is a feeling of fear, a feeling of uneasiness, and a feeling of dread. Anxiety, number two, means to be disturbed in your mind. Your mind is not settled. Your mind is not stable. There are many thoughts running through your mind, and you seem quite disturbed in your mind. Number three, anxiety means to worry. It means to be in a state of apprehension, to fret. And number four, anxiety is an emotion that is characterized by feelings of tension and excessive and persistent worry. So it's an emotion that shows forth by you being tense. You're very tense. And then you have excessive and persistent worry. Worry may flash through a mind, but if the person doesn't meditate on it, the worry just dissipates away. But somebody suffering from the negative symptoms of anxiety may have excessive, persistent worry. And sometimes they can be very nervous when there's no reason to be. When you check the meaning of the word anxious from the Latin word is angere. Angere is spelled A-N-G-E-R-E. A-N-G-E-R-E. Angere. Angere means to choke. Just like something can choke a pipe, or something can choke your windpipe, or something can choke your esophagus, or something can choke your intestines. It means whatever chokes something does not allow free flow. In other words, it prevents the free flow of materials from one end to the other. So in the Latin, the word angere means to choke. And in talking about this in this context, it means that anxiety can choke your faith. Anxiety can choke your love. Anxiety can choke your peace. So you find that momentarily things disturb you. And when you look around, you find that the things don't really the same. Other individuals may be experiencing the same things, but it doesn't disturb them. But somehow you have had the negative habit of feeding upon your circumstances so negatively that they tend to affect you badly. So you find some people with anxiety who cannot sleep. They cannot sleep at night. They always have some panic disorders. They are there and then tamanani are hellish. They're more chiefa. And then there's palpitation of heart and on and on. God knows that if you stay worrying about what to eat, what to drink, and what to wear, you'll be compromising your health. And even more seriously, you'll be compromising your faith. Because the Bible says, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So when your faith is choked, then you can't have victory over the world. So your faith must have a free flow. The channel must be clear so that the power of God can pass through and execute the will of God on your behalf. Is somebody hearing me? As an antidote to worrying, God has stated in Psalm 37, and Psalm 37 is a scripture that you must acquaint yourself with. The verse 1 talks about fret not. In other words, don't worry. Tell the next person, don't worry. Say it aloud to the person. Tell the person, don't worry. I like the way a friend of mine used to say it some decades ago. God, don't worry. Oh, God, don't worry. Don't worry. Tell another person, don't worry. No, I don't like the authority with which you are saying. Say it boldly. Look at the person. Say, don't worry in the name of Jesus Christ. Let nothing take away your peace. Let nothing take away your joy. Let nothing take away your sleep. Let nothing take away your confidence in God. Let nothing steal your faith. So fret not. Worry has a corrosive power. It can eat away your strength. And then you realize you're walking, but you're weak. You haven't done much, but you're feeling very weak. The second admonition in Psalm 37 is in verse 3. It says, trust in the Lord. Now when you stop worrying, then you must repose your confidence in God. To trust in something means to lean on it with all your confidence to such an extent that if the thing failed, then you have also failed. So we are supposed to lean on God. The Bible says, casting all your cares. What are the things that are bothering your mind? Get up and pray. If the morning prayer is not adequate, continue in the daytime. If the daytime is not adequate, continue in the evening. If these are not adequate, set another time. Read the word and probably walk out of the confines of your home and go into an open space and go and pray. Make sure nothing is stealing your joy. Nothing is stealing your peace. So number one, fret not. Number two, trust in the Lord. They that trust in the Lord, they shall be like Mount Zion and cannot be moved by little things like inflation and price increases, and cannot be moved because they have been jilted, and cannot be moved because business is not going well and the finances are not coming the way you expected them to be. The third point that helps you overcome worry is in verse 4. It says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of your heart. Delight thyself. That is the third point. Show interest. Show enthusiasm. Very high enthusiasm in the word of God. Don't appear in church and disappear from church. Be interested in the word. Be interested in the worship. Be interested in the prayer. Be interested in activities that are related to the kingdom of God. Delight thyself. Show interest. High enthusiasm. Be passionate. Be devoted to the whole thing. The Bible says when you delight yourself in the Lord, then automatically your needs will be granted. You see, we've turned it the other way around. That's why we don't get true riches. if I get what the people in the world get, then I'll be happy. You will be happy in the short run, but you cannot be joyful in the long run. So number one, fret not. Number two, trust in the Lord. Number three, delight thyself. Be interested in the word of God. Don't come and sleep in church. If you know eating makes you doze, then don't eat before you walk into church. You may have a little drink, but don't eat heavily. Because the same brain you use in listening is the same brain you use for your digestion. So you are dividing your attention. Then the fourth point in Psalm 37 is found in verse 7. It says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. I like the way some people talk. Reverend, I've been waiting. I've been resting in the Lord. And I've been waiting patiently. No, you are not resting. When you are resting, it will show on you. Can I hear an amen? When you are resting, it will manifest in the way you do things. I remember the situation. There was this young student who was in love with another young student at the university. And this lady thought he saw another lady in the gentleman's car. So when the gentleman drove to the campus, she followed the gentleman. And then the gentleman said he would be leaving shortly for another place. The lady thought the gentleman was going to meet the lady she supposed was with the guy in the car. So she decided not to get off the car. She sat in the car. She sat at the other side of the driver's seat. And she wouldn't get down. They persuaded her from morning, 7 a.m., she didn't get down. She sat in the vehicle from morning till evening. I don't know how she managed. She sat into the night in the same vehicle. And then she was calling that love. You see, there are some things you have to run away from fast, because this is not love. This is bad anxiety imposing itself and trying to look like love. The Bible says, rest in the Lord. Turn to the next person and say, rest in the Lord. Now, some people, they only rest when they have money, but money gets finished sometimes. Others rest when they have food. But the Bible says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently on the Lord. Relax. Don't fret. Don't be disturbed. There is nothing that is happening under the sun that has never happened before. And there is no situation you are in that others have never gotten through and have come out. What you are in, somebody was there and came out and is now a multimillionaire. What you are in, somebody was there and now the relationships are healed. Business is doing well. So whatever it is, God is bigger than your problem. I said, God is bigger than your burden. Cast all your care. The Bible says casting, present continuous. So if you cast in the morning and the baby wants to come in the afternoon, cast it again. Wants to come at midnight, cast it again. Faith believes that it is done. Faith rests. Because faith recognizes that she is not the one. Can I say it this way? you recognize that you are not the one to manufacture the miracle. It is God who will bring it to pass. The Bible says he keeps watch over his word to perform. So make sure that before the miracle arrives, you have the word of God in your heart. You are meditating on the word. Can I hear an amen, somebody? So the Bible says rest in the Lord and wait patiently. Don't rush ahead of God. Don't rush and go and do things. And sometimes you can rush into a relationship. Sometimes you can rush to take a job. Sometimes you can do you, and he knows where to take you. If you believe the word, put your hands together. Can't you see how I'm resting in the Lord? Turn to somebody, tell the person, I like how God has, tell another person, where from that So number one, fret not. Number two, trust in the Lord. Number three, delight thyself also in the Lord. Number four, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Pastor, I'm not coming to church because I've asked God some things and he hasn't done it. So that's why I'm not coming. Stay at home. If you're walking in faith, you walk to the house of God and come and rejoice during the time of praise. We find the fifth one, still in Psalm 37, verse 8. It says, cease from anger and forsake wrath. There are people, when things are not being done for them, then they get angry. Sometimes they get angry with themselves that everybody is believing and is working, but why am I believing and it's not working? They get angry and frustrated with themselves. Some people get angry against God. They say God has disappointed them. God has not been nice to them. God has delayed them. They've been waiting on God for the past 8 years, 12 years, 19 years. He hasn't done it. Well, God is neither too early nor too late. He's always right on time. If he says wait for him, it will surely come to pass. It may be the 11th hour, and you may think that you may be thrown out, but your God, who is a faithful God, will stand behind you, even if you were thrown out. Can I hear an amen? The fact that you don't have a job does not mean you will not eat. He was looking after you before you had a job. Am I not preaching the truth? He will cater for you when there is no job. Come on, put your hands together and be grateful to him. This worry business must leave your life. This worry business must not be in your nursery, where you are nurturing it. And anxiety forces you to go and have a boyfriend by force. And a sugar mommy by force. In other words, you are taking carnal sponsors, trying to replace God with them. Anything you put in the stead of God, it becomes an idol. And God will fight that thing. And God will fight you. Some of you are making some gentlemen poor because you have made them your God. So it says, cease from anger. So some people, number one, can be angry with themselves. Number two, angry with God. And number three, angry with others. Angry with their background. Angry that their father didn't sponsor them well. Angry that one of their siblings has prospered and seems to have forgotten about them, angry that the church members are not doing much and the pastor is not sensitive. But the Bible says, I must teach you. And when I teach you and you hear the word and believe the word, you will prosper and be a blessing to another person. You have to have a Christian life where sometimes you don't know what to eat after service. It's normal. But God will make you transition from that domain and put you in another economy. Oh, come on. Come on, put your hands together. Put you in another economy where there is no lack. You must practice the word of God so much that you transition from the economy of men to the economy of God. What is the economy of God? The economy of God is the circumstances that surround God. Number one, to create. Number two, to distribute. Number three, to dispense. And number four, to make it rich his people. So God is in the business of creating. He's creating jobs. Will somebody receive that job created in Jesus' name? That job that is high paying. I'm talking about the economy of God. God is creating businesses, multinational businesses. God is raising business tycoons, globe-trotting businessmen who are still committed to the word of God. Receive your package now in the name of Jesus. God is creating millionaires, billionaires, and multi-billionaires. Secondly, after God has created, so he's even creating different things, wealth, resources. Then what God does is that he distributes. So he may distribute to continents, he may distribute to nations, he may distribute to regions. Then after the distribution, he dispenses, like you go to the dispensary. And they say, take 2 tablespoons full twice a day. So they take the medication and pour it onto the spoon. And you take it twice in the morning and do same in the evening. God is dispensing your prosperity into... Somebody must be shouting, brother, may God bless you. Somebody must be shouting and clapping. God is dispensing breakthroughs, dispensing promotion, dispensing elevation, dispensing settlement of debts. It is the sum total of these doings of God that we call the economy of God. There are some steps that you must take to plug yourself into the economy of God. We will have time to teach on that. But today, we are looking at what to do to have true riches, riches that will stay with you. And the Bible is saying that we must not be anxious. That's the first point we are looking at. Jesus said, look at the birds of the air. Look at the lilies in the field. The lilies do not spin. They are stationary. Yet they are clothed with glory. Don't you believe God can clothe you with glory? rather than moving from prophet to prophet, from church to church. Don't you believe where you are a planting of God, and as a planting of God, God will beautify you with glory. He says, which of you, by your thoughts, can add a little to your height? You can add anything to your stature. The Bible says, when you think that way, and you are thinking what to eat, what to drink, what to wear, where to sleep, and you are thinking that way, you are behaving like the Gentiles. You are behaving like the unbelievers. You are not walking the lifestyle of faith. In other words, you are seeking the wrong things. You are not doing what God wants you to do. Can I hear an amen? I say, can I hear an amen? Oh boy. My text is gone. This is why we like the hard text. I didn't hear an amen. I got a new iPad. And so there are new features. So the features are trying to beat me. But I will beat it in Jesus' name. I will not panic. I'll be calm. I'll be cool. I'll be collected. When we were young, there was a footballer that used to play for Accra House of Hope, and he played for the Ghana national team. He was called Joe Gatti. And Joe Gatti was such a person that he played his soccer in a very slow but effective manner. Joe Gatti was described as cool and collected. Because when he took the ball, it was shabby view again. I didn't hear an amen. Amen. Tell the next person, be cool and collected. Be cool and collected. So Jesus is saying that, look, what you do not do is that you do not worry. You do not worry. You do not get disturbed. And Jesus described people who get involved in that as people of little faith. Now look at the latter part of verse 34. It says, sufficient unto the day is what? Is the evil. Now listen to me. What the Bible wants to tell you is that God has created today as a good day, and he has blessed it. But Satan has thrown evil into the day. And as a child of God, you must learn how to do intercessions to take the evil out of the day. If you do not take the evil out of the day and you worry, you leave the evil and the evil is transferred to the next day. So the previous day's evil plus the following day's evil multiplied against you, you can't stand it. So you have to learn to take one day at a time and deal with issues on daily basis. That's why the Chinese say that a journey of 1,000 miles starts with what? One step. Some people don't like one step. They want to jump. But God will walk with you step by step. He will walk with you side by side. So deal with today's challenges and get them out of your way and wait to see what God will do tomorrow. Come on, put your hands together and shout to God's glory. Are you understanding what we are preaching today? So the first point is, do not be anxious. The second point, the second major point, he says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's verse 33 of Matthew chapter 6. If you are not worrying, Then you have to seek first the kingdom of God. This scripture, particular verse, spells out the condition for God's provision to you. There is a condition which must be satisfied, and afterwards God will provide what you need. You have to meet this condition. You have to satisfy this condition. Satisfying this condition will guarantee the provision. So the Bible says, seek ye first, not second, not third, not fourth, not last. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Let me focus just, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. The word first there in the Greek is proton. And proton, number one, means first in place. Number two, first in order. And number three, in an order of priority. When we talk about an order of priority, we are talking about order of importance. There are some things that are immediately important, which must be done, because the rest of the other things rest on that. And there are some other things that are not important, so they can wait. After the first things have been done first, then we can consider to tackle them subsequently. In the book of Haggai, Haggai was a prophet, one of the prophets in the Old Testament. And he was part of the people who were captured into captivity in Babylon. So after they had been there for a while, God had scheduled that they will return to Judah. So when the time came, Haggai led one group of people and brought them back into Judah. When they came to Judah, they had no temple, because the temple was destroyed before they were taken away into captivity. So they started reconstructing the temple. While they were reconstructing the temple, some neighbors who were heathen came to even offer their support, but they rejected it and said they would do it. After some time, they got disinterested and discontinued the reconstruction of the temple. 14 years after, they were not interested in a place of worship, in a place where God will inhabit, and all of them went into matters concerning themselves, thereby changing the order, and their first thing became second, and God was not pleased with them that he had been put second. So you know what God did? When they sowed in the field, when they planted, they would plant plenty, something that should have yielded maybe 1,000 bags of wheat. Then when they went for harvest, it would just be 150 bags. Because the Bible said, God said, I blew upon it so that you will not get maximum harvest. Then when they got money, and they put it in their pocket, God said he punched holes in their pockets so that anything they got didn't stay with them. Today I pray for the mercies of God to fall upon the household of faith, to fall upon your family, and to fall upon your life and the nation, in the name of Jesus Christ, that any wind of adversity that is blowing and decimating your gains and whittling away your prosperity, by the power of God, in the name of Jesus Christ, let that rod of evil be broken from your life. Let that wind of adversity be taken back, and let that tide be turned in your favor, in Jesus' name. I pray that whatever purse, whatever wallet, whatever bag, whatever pocket you put your income in, and there are holes under, may the mercies of God seal the holes. May the holes that drain your prosperity, that con men come and present themselves as good men, may the holes be sealed by the power of God, that whatever you earn, you can account for it, that God will be adding to your life, that increase will be manifested fasting in your life. I declare the adverse wind curtailed, and I declare the holes in your pocket, in your bank account sealed. Come on, shout amen and put your hands together, somebody. So these people worked hard, but they brought little home. These people invested much, but the wind of adversity blew over it, and some didn't get anything, others got a little. And God sent the prophet to tell them that until they restore the right order, this negative trend will continue with them. May you restore the right order now. Let God be truly first in your life and not second. Can I hear an amen from somebody? I said, may the Lord be truly first. When you rise out of bed, may God be first. On a Sunday morning, may God be first. On a weeknight meeting, may God be first. God cannot be second. Your children are not first. I'm not asking you not to attend to that infant. By all means, give the breast milk. By all means, attend to baby. But have in your mind that you have an appointment with God. Somebody say amen. Ask the person next to you, when you rise up early, do you pray? Ask the person. Some of you don't even rise up early. You don't know what it is to rise early. The Bible says Jesus, a little while before dawn, went into a secluded place and went to seek the face of God, the Messiah himself. So you have to get the priority right. God is first. All other things are second. God cannot be second. So God must be first in your finances. God told them in Malachi chapter 3 that I said you have robbed me. Then they said, wherein have we robbed you? Then God said, in tithes and offerings. Take the tithe out first. Take the offering out first before you start using the money. When you step into church, or when you know the church's account or the church's momo number or whatever it's called where you are, make sure that you treat God first. Don't treat God as if you are tipping him, and after you have paid the electricity bills and paid the water bills and paid for transportation, then what is left you struggle to know. You pay first. Tell the next person, pay your tithes first before you. Give to God what is God's. The 90% is yours. If you want to give it to the needy in the street, you can go and pour the 90% on them. But don't argue with the 10%, because it's not yours. You are a steward of it. You are a custodian of it. God will ask you, where is it? It's just 10%. The 90% is yours. When it's small, people give. But when it gets big, and somebody has to give a tithe of 5,000, that's when they struggle. Then they say, ah, he walk anything, he saw more. Okay, I hand him show. So let God be first and stop that thing of God being last. And you owe this person, you owe that person. Pay your tithe. Then God will bless the 90%. Then they can go and sort that out. If you owe and it is you cannot pay because of the tithe, then you owe more than necessary. It's not the tithe. The tithe cannot prevent you from paying your debts. The tithe was instituted to be a blessing upon the 90%, so that in a short period, by his grace, you will receive more income and go and settle your indebtedness. Oh, come on, put your hands together. That's why God established the principle of the first fruits, not the last fruits. The first fruits are the early fruits that ripe on the tree from season to season. They are the early ones that come. It is different from the tithe, because the first fruits can be one third. The first fruits can be one quarter, which is 20%, or 25 rather. The idea behind it is to treat God first. I didn't hear an amen. Some of you, the way you come to church, when you're walking to church on Sunday and you are even late, you walk so that you'll be more late, because tomanoni oba here ishi tomanoni oyasese. You are so slow and non-conscious and non-passionate about the fact that let me double my steps and let me join the household of faith. But you walk carelessly and lackadaisically to the house of God. You have lost some passion. You have lost some zeal. You have lost some order of priority. You make a lot of things crowd your life. You make worry crowd it, anxiety crowd it, anger crowd it, money that you don't have crowd it. Are you the first person who doesn't have money? There were people in the Bible who didn't have money, but they continued praying until the prayer opened the door and provision was made, and they never got broke again. So, under this topic of seeking first the kingdom of God, the first thing we are looking at now, we have just looked at, is the principle of the first fruits. The second thing under this is first reconcile with your brother. Matthew 5:23-24. The Bible says, when you come to the altar to present a sacrifice and you have an issue with a brother or sister, leave the sacrifice at the altar and first go back and reconcile with the person and come back. Is there anybody seated by you that you do not talk to? Is there anybody in the ushering department, among the choristers, counselors, amongst even the pastorate, that you do not talk to? Ask the next person seated to you. I know we've been talking together, and we'll continue talking. Leave the sacrifice if you want God to answer your prayers. Leave the bitterness. Leave the anger. Go and reconcile with your brother and come back and offer the sacrifice that God may accept. I think you should be clapping your hands over there. Still under seeking the kingdom of God first, the next thing is your prayers. The Bible talks about we first of all making intercessions for all men and for kings and rulers in authority. God wants you to pray for leadership. He wants you to pray for the president. Pray for the leaders of various institutions. Pray for your father who's alive, mother who's alive, grandmother, grandfather who are alive. Pray for your pastors. Pray for them. The Bible said, pray for them first. I don't know what blessing you will get from that, but God has stated it. And when you apply it, it will be a blessing to you. So in order for God to be first, consider God in your purpose. Consider God in your vision. Consider God in your aspirations. And consider God in your day-to-day activities. In your purpose, in your vision, in your aspirations, and in your day-to-day activities. Remember, in seeking the kingdom of God first, we are seeking for the salvation that is inherent in the kingdom of God. The word seek means to aim at, to strive, to achieve, to search for, to desire, to require, to demand. So when you are seeking, you are aiming at something. You have a goal, you have a target. When you are seeking, there are other things that are competing for your attention, but you are striving to please God. You are striving to stay on course. There may be this television thing that is distracting you, but you want to finish that part of God. You are searching. You are desiring. You are requiring. You are demanding. When the Bible says we should seek first the kingdom of God, number one, the Bible is saying that we should seek the spread of the kingdom. Jesus said the kingdom of God is like yeast or a leaven that when it's put in bread, it impacts the whole bread and causes it to rise. God has brought you out to impact your community. And God wants us to spread the word, to preach the word, to share the gospel, to evangelize, to spread the good news. So in seeking the kingdom of God, first of all, we spread the word. Spread the word about what Jesus is doing. Share the testimony about the grace of God working in your life and in church. Then secondly, seeking the kingdom of God has to do with seeking for the accomplishments of the kingdom. There are some things that must be done. There are some things that must be carried out. There are some things that have been prophetically stated, and they must come to pass. So you and I are believing God and waiting for his manifestation. The things which are promises in the word. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy family. Seek for its accomplishment over your family. Let your siblings, your children, even your parents and aunties and uncles, let them come to the saving knowledge of Christ. You pray. You want things to be accomplished. There's poverty in your family. You cut it off and pray for the accomplishment of prosperity in your household. Those who have been called to be lawyers, may God raise them, that they will be Christian lawyers, having time for the things of the household of faith. Those who have been called to be top electricians, let them so be. An electrical engineer, say somebody hearing what I'm saying. You pray that the anointing of pastors shall raise pastors in your house, and of wealthy men and women shall be raised from the soil of, let there be accomplishments. Let the hand that has set out to put the foundation. Let the hand accomplish the placing of the headstone. You shall not die until you have fully accomplished all that God ordained you to be. If I have witnesses in this place, let your shout be louder. Let your clap be louder. Spread the word and pray for accomplishment. We have to pray for it. It will not happen by itself. You have to ask God for it. Amen. Nobody will come and give you land like that unless there's some unique grace that is working. Even the land you pay for, somebody will come and contest it. May God rebuke those people from your land. Can I hear an amen? Those who have the habit of removing corner pillars, which are legitimately yours and registered in your name, when they remove one, they are removing something from their house. How can you buy land and then somebody just aggressively moves in because somebody says you're moving and build so that 2 weeks after that, because you haven't been investing the land becomes his when he goes to court. Rubbish. May the will of God be accomplished in your life. May the unmarried who seek to marry, may they be married in Jesus' name. May those waiting for the fruit of the womb, may the grace of God bring it to pass. Those waiting for their cars, receive a release of the grace of God. Those waiting for their houses and for new jobs and opportunities, take your promotion by God's grace. Shout louder, yeah! So when we say let's pray, don't pray as if as for you everything has been accomplished. Pray for more customers. Pray for more clients with the ability to pay. Rebuke con men and deceitful people from your life. Pray for that accomplishment that God will give you amazing friends. Friends like David and Jonathan. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? If you don't pray, you'll find some strange things in your neighborhood. Pray that the children don't get on marijuana. Pray that they don't go on crack and cocaine and that they don't use heroin. And is somebody hearing what I'm saying? Pray that they don't get infested into wrong company. There must be accomplishment. There must be accomplishment. There must be accomplishment. You must be happy in your marriage. You're not saying, I say you must be happy in your marriage. You must be peaceful in your marriage. It must be accomplished. For there shall be a performance or an accomplishment of that which the Lord has spoken. May the word of God be accomplished fully in your life. I release the grace of supernatural accomplishment. I spoke to a pastor last week, and I've known him for a while because his life has been in the woods. And when I was talking to him, I said, have you moved from your old place? He says, yes. How did you move? He says, somebody was led by God to prepare a place and to have me in. 3-bedroom house, walled for myself. He renovated the place. God had spoken to him years before that he would be accommodating a minister of the gospel. And it was another prophet who spoke in another meeting. Then another person saw him and said, do you care
to drive a Honda Pilot. Then he looked at the person and said, but my budget doesn't read there. They said, do you mind? He said, what about that? And the person said, the Lord has laid in on my heart to buy one for you. May God lay it on somebody's heart to buy something for you. Can I hear an amen? Then where their church was meeting, they needed a new place. And God spoke to somebody to give out land for the time being. So they are settled. So he settled in three areas: his accommodation, his transportation, and his ministry. And he was talking with much confidence and much excitement. I think you should be clapping, because somebody else here is about to get a similar miracle. So we've done, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So we're going to point three now, third major point. First point, don't be anxious. Second point, seek first the kingdom of God. And third major point, seek his righteousness. Seek his righteousness. What is the righteousness of God? Well, we would define it as rightness with God, right standing with God, standing before God without any sense of guilt and shame. We can look at that. But there is an additional meaning to righteousness. This meaning is equity. When we say righteousness, equity has many meanings, but one meaning of equity is fairness and justice. Fairness and justice. God wants us in this life to be fair. Then where we feel there's an injustice, God wants us to be a help. When there's somebody vulnerable, for justice to happen, we can extend the hand of love. For somebody who is needy and circumstances are defeating the person, for there to be justice, your righteousness can be extended toward this person to help, so that they are supported. So your righteousness will make you feed the hungry. It will make you clothe the poor. It will make you visit the imprisoned. And it will make you protect the weak and the vulnerable. When you look at the prophets of old, prophets like Isaiah, prophets like Ezekiel, prophets like Jeremiah and co., their messages addressed the inequalities in society. When the rich and the powerful were using their positions to oppress the marginalized and the weak, Isaiah and co. will rise and speak to those who were strong, that there's a day of judgment and a day of rewards, and that God was watching from his throne, and that they need to treat those who were weak, needy, marginalized, and poor with some love, beauty, care, and support them so that they would rise. Can I hear a good amen from that? Now look at God. God is holy and God is righteous. The Bible talks about the acts of God as righteous. Remember when the Pharisee and the publican went to pray? While the publican bowed the head and said, Lord, I'm a sinner and I'm not worthy, but by your grace today I'm before you. Have mercy upon me. Hear my cry and answer my prayers. The other guy, who was the Pharisee, lifted his eyes and said, Lord, I'm better than the other person. And the Lord, you know, I fast 3 times a week. And you know, I give alms to the poor. Now Jesus said, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of God. The righteousness you need is the righteousness that Christ has provided for us, that when your sin is cleansed by the blood of Jesus, you are giving a new garment, spiritual garment of righteousness, to protect you and preserve you and to present you acceptable in the sight of God. That righteousness you wear must engage in righteous acts. God is righteous. When he looks down and he sees unrighteous acts, he brings his righteousness to bear on the circumstances, so things are fine. That's why you don't laugh at the poor. There are some of you, when the poor work for you and they are masons, you don't want to pay them. Be careful, because when God rises for them, you are in trouble. There are some of you, you don't have the money to pay the electrician. So you are maltreating the poor. You are not supporting the needy and the marginalized. Your righteousness must manifest to bring social transformation. Oh, come on, come on, come on, come on, come. Somebody must get up and say, because of you, I completed my educational career. Somebody must write and say, because of your support, I was able to marry and my marriage was sustained. Somebody must say that I didn't have money to commute from where I was to church, but you offered me lift regularly, and because of that, I have had found my feet in the house of God. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? Somebody must say that I had almost fainted till I trusted in the goodness of the Lord, and God revealed you to come and help me in my situation. Otherwise, I would have been destroyed by poverty. Oh, come on, put your hands together, somebody. Oh, I said, put your hands together. I mean it, not have the congregation. If you have clothes, share with them that don't have. Your righteousness must touch another. When you gather riches and you don't pay your tithe, you don't give your offering, and you don't perform acts of righteousness, your riches will take wings and fly. Oh, those who have money, oh, I am rolling over the interest. So when it becomes more, then I'll give God a tithe. Give the tithe so God will preserve what you have. Give the tithe. Don't delay. If God says give to your pastors, give to them. When he says give to the poor, give to them. When we are raising funds to go to the prisons, release what you have. Don't be stingy. The only way that you can rise is to give. Because you set yourself into the economy of God. Oh, come on, come on, come on. Listen to me. And I keep saying this. They just announced that in Ghana they will place a levy on monies that we transfer, by mobile money. Just that announcement has hiked up prices. Then another now is cost of transportation. That went up by 15% over the weekend. That's another. Then now Parliament is now discussing the e-levy. And when it is imposed, things will change. Now Russia has attacked Ukraine. And you are sitting, you want to be praying the same dining table prayers you were praying. You are not smart. You want to give the same small giving you were doing. Move to a higher gear. Plunge yourself out of the economy of men. Out, are you hearing me? And move into the economy of God. Because if it is by your salary alone, some of you can never save to buy a car. If it is by your salary alone, some of you can never purchase a land. If it is by your salary alone, some of you can never build a house, nor even pay school fees at the university level. But there is a grace of God which will usher you into a divine economy. And in that economy, you live above the natural economy. And that's where your rewards, your benefits, your blessings, even when you are retired, God still prospers you. I never read in the Bible that Abraham was prosperous from 75 to 100, and after 100 he was broke. The man was rich till death. Isaac was rich till death. Jacob was rich till death. May you be rich till God calls you out of this world. Oh, I used to be rich. Oh, when I was as a so-and-so, a foreign service, oh, we're getting dollars, and now you are broke. Check what economy you have been operating in. When you were receiving the dollars, were you giving tithes according to the foreign currencies you were receiving? Or when you came, you just released some small CDs as if you were tipping God. Oh, when we were so-and-so and we're parliamentarians, they took care of everything. Now that you're not a parliamentarian, look at how broke you are getting. You must be rich and wealthy into your old age. Isaac became rich and worked strong and went forward and became wealthy and became rich and work strong and went forward. May you work strong. May you be going forward. I said, may you work stronger and go forward and gain more ground, and gain more territory. May you not be a beggar around this time, nor in your old age. May God provide for you and cater for all your needs. It's an economy of God. When you release into the kingdom, you are not afraid. You are not afraid that he will take care of you. But when you withhold, then you are afraid. Even to buy food. But watch a chair here. Bankuke, Okrustube, O fake pepe, O domoshbe, O fake pepe. Listen, as you grow older, you don't need much meat and fish, but may God bless you so that the people in your neighborhood, you will bless them. That you'll be calling people from church to eat in your house, keke. Just eat in your house. There is no scripture that when you retire, you must wear Joe singlet with holes in it and look shabby. There's no scripture. Having traveled a little, I have seen that those who travel from mid-morning to evening when you are at international airports, they are the retirees. Like, I'm a chunia, I'm going to ashweshikami. You find them going to Florida Beach, and they are old, very old, aged, and it should be the young ones, but the young ones are broke. But they have money, they have investments. It doesn't affect them if they fly to Switzerland. They just go to Rome and look at ancient buildings, say, oh, and come back home. You, to come to church, you must open all the drawers and look for where the CD note has hidden itself and retrieve it as if there's magnet on your fingers. May your life be prosperous from now onwards. Yes. Today, we are going to pray, and you are going to be anointed so that the blessings in the economy of God will fall upon you. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. The blessings in the economy of God shall fall upon you. The blessings in the economy of God shall fall upon you. Let me hear better. Amen. I say, may the blessings in the economy of God ordained for you from the foundations of the world, may they fall upon your life as you seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The Bible says the third part, and all these things shall be added unto you. So the first major point is, don't be anxious. The second, seek first the kingdom of God. Third, his righteousness. And number four, and all these things, name them one by one, all these things shall be added. What style is it that you are looking for in the clothing? God will add it to you once it glorifies him. The word add, if you look at the meaning, is quite interesting. Because the word add, one meaning is to annex. I'm coming to explain that word. When we talk about annex or annexation, we are talking about a takeover. We are talking about a seizure. We are talking about an invasion or a conquest. We are talking about taking what belongs to you. In law, when we talk about annexation, it's a legal process by which something that didn't belong to you previously is given to you. Today I'm declaring that something that didn't belong to you previously is being given to you now. Especially the things you need and what you have desired and what God has promised he will do for you. May you annex your blessings, financial blessings, material blessings, emotional and psychological blessings, and spiritual blessings. May you be blessed while you are going. May you be blessed while you are coming. May you be blessed in the city. May you be blessed in the village. May you be so blessed that if the enemy shall attack you, and come one way, God shall strike them down and scatter them and get them confounded in seven different ways. They shall flee away from you in the name of Jesus. May you be so blessed that the heavens shall roll and the treasures of God shall be poured into your life abundantly, that the resources of God shall bring wealth into your life. Somebody shout amen in the name of Jesus Christ. Are you hearing me? I declare your days of poverty are over. Your days of insufficiency are over. Your days of lack and need are over by the power of God. I declare institutionalized and inaugurated. I declare established in your life the economy of God, because you will take steps to enter the arena. And I command forth and I call out the blessings of God that are inherent in the kingdom of God. You will not walk begging. You will not cry before you eat. You will not cry before you get accommodation. You will not cry before the school fees is paid. You will not cry. God will hear your prayer. He said, even before you pray, I know your needs. But I want you to pray so that you fulfill my principle and that I will honor you. Is somebody hearing? Whatever you owe, God will settle it for you. Whatever was taken away from you, I am prophesying as a servant of God that there shall be restoration, major restoration, major restoration of the cash, of the wealth, of the lands, of the houses, of the child. Oh, come on, lift up your voice. Somebody must shout louder than that, because I see an anointing. An anointing of open doors. An anointing of breakthroughs. An anointing of miracles. In the name of Jesus Christ. And all these things. And all these things. And all these things. And all these things shall be added, shall be annexed by you. And all these things shall be appropriated by you. And all these things shall be taken by violence, because the kingdom of God suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. And all these things shall be taken over. May you take over what belongs to you. May you seize what belongs to you. True Vine Charismatic Church, we are taking what belongs to us. We are seizing what belongs to us. We are accelerating. We are mounting up with wings like the eagles. We were so high above our limitations, above our obstacles. We were so high above our failures. And we were so high above the crest of the waves. And all these things shall be added. Before the thief plans to rob from you, I curse that plan. That he will miss the way and never be able to enter your house. If he ventures to enter your house, may the hand of God strike him, that he will fall dead in the house. There are things we may need to sell because we have plans to do something better. But I don't believe in that lifestyle where every time you have a need, you go and sell your television. Every time you have a need, you sell this. You sell your shoes. There is more in the kingdom of God than your pair of shoes. God has never lacked. There is more in the kingdom. Is somebody hearing me? There are things that you may buy and put down to sell and make profits. By all means, that's fine. That's fine. But it's not that you are selling your shirt. What kind of life is that? The Bible says, what you ask God is what you get. If you don't need 20 shirts and you need 5, ask for 20. So that by the time the 5 get old, you have 15 more to get that for you. Be ahead. Bring out the olive oil. Bring out. Let me have the deaconesses quickly and the deacons. Some pastors can help. Lift up your two hands and start praying. Makataya bros, telerebe. Very quick prayer. Today you are praying, number one, to be ushered into the kingdom of God. When the oil comes around, pick it up and wait. I will instruct you. We command the blessings upon the oil of God. We command the anointing of God to identify with this element. We declare your people shall perform above regression. They shall perform above high inflation. They shall perform above global recession. They shall perform above any levy, whatever kind of levy that is intended to take away. May God compensate you right now by the Spirit of Almighty God. May this anointing bring divine acceleration, supernatural speed. Today, by the application of this oil, God will make you annex the miracle. Oh, can I hear an amen? That is to say, God will make you seize the breakthrough. God will make you appropriate and take what belongs to you. The kingdom of God suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. We take your miracle by force on your behalf. We take the breakthrough by force. We resist the enemy. We oppose the devil. We cast out the demons. We break the barriers and the limitation. We declare their resistance is destroyed. I release the hand of God to set the economy of God about your life. That as you take a step of faith, may this step of faith of the application of the oil upon your life usher you into the economy of God. May you be lifted above the economy of your country and above the economy of the world and above the economy of your circumstances. But may God usher you into the divine economy, economy of Israel, in the name of Jesus Christ. And may God release the wealth, release the finances, release the blessings, release
release the breakthroughs, release the opportunities, release the open doors, release the healings and the deliverances, release the peace and the preservation and the joy. I release the victory. I release the victory to you. I release the victory to the church. You will have a victory parade. You will have a victory march. I bless the oil once again. Pour it unto yourself. And clap your hands. You can't. They'll come and collect the things. Please come and pick up the things for us, because you must go into prophetic action. Thank you so much. You may smear it upon your head. Hey, Saladabakaya. Lift your voice once again before we go into the shout. Where are the people who brought us the trays? Let them pick these things away. Those online, find oil. Whatever oil you have there, find oil and anoint yourself. I bless your oil. I bless your oil. And I release the anointing of God speedily unto your life.
In the name of Jesus.